This is Resonance 104.4 FM. You're listening to The Bike Show. My name's Jack Thurston. And joining me in the studio today is Tom Kevill Davis, aka The Hungry Cyclist. Welcome to Resonance, Tom.
Hi there.
Tom is going to be setting off on an amazing bike ride, a kind of gastronomical endurance tour of the whole of the Americas, really. Tell me a bit more about the project.
It's really a gastronomic endurance tour. It's very glamorous, but it's really cycling the Americas in search of the perfect meal. My love of food and cycling have kind of come to a head, and I find myself 2 weeks away from starting in New York, and starting in New York, cycling around, but through the website I've put together, the public kind of have the power to suggest where they think I should eat.
The basic idea of being the hungry cyclist is that you're saying that you're going to get so hungry on this trip around the whole of North and South America that you'll eat pretty much anything.
Yeah, I mean, cycling, I don't know if anyone who's done it, it develops an aggressive hunger. You kind of burn thousands of calories a day, and it means that you want to eat four times a day and as much as you can, and so that, you know, food and cycling, I think, go perfectly together.
And why did you choose to go around America? I mean, there's lots of other, you know, continents. What was it about America that drew you particularly?
I think that firstly, the comfort of North America is that there's no language barrier. So for a first hungry cyclist adventure, it seemed like the kind of natural option. And I've always wanted to travel in Central and South America. So instead of just doing Central or South America, I thought I might as well do the whole lot while I was there.
And so talk me through your route in outline. You arrive in New York, isn't it, in a couple of weeks?
Yeah, arriving in New York on the 14th, and after spending a week there, I'll head north up the East Coast, kind of Maine, Cape Cod, and then I'll head west to Toronto, and then it's...
So down, up into Canada?
Up into Canada, briefly, and then dropping down this Lake Michigan into Chicago, which is a bit of a kind of gastronomic mecca, and then it's a kind of long journey west, and then it's like across through kind of Montana, and then up to Calgary, across the Rockies, which will be interesting, but down the other side with a view of the Pacific into Vancouver.
And then down all the way down the West Coast.
Down the West Coast.
Mexico. Through Central America.
Central America, Belize, Costa Rica.
And then kind of a big loop around Latin America.
Yeah, a big loop kind of with the starting off on the Pacific side.
All right, well, we're going to try and take a little bit of a musical gastro tour in the next half hour. And this is the first record. Ice Cream Man by Leslie Uggams. Tom, we had a quick look at your bike earlier before the show, and I don't remember seeing whether there was a bell on it. Have you got a bell on it?
I have got a bell, yeah. It's neatly hidden within the compass.
What kind of a bell is it? What sort of sound does it make?
Just a kind of ding.
A kind of attracting attention
attracting
ding. Not
attention
the sort of ice
out
creams.
Out of the way. It's not a kind of honker, no.
Right. Ice creams are for sale here.
No, sadly not. Sadly not.
But you're, so tell us a little bit about the bike. I mean, you're going to be, how many miles? 8,000 miles or something
probably
like that?
Probably closer to 20,000.
20,000 miles.
Together, yeah.
So you've got to choose a pretty sturdy bike.
And comfortable as well, hopefully. But it's kind of steel framed, very heavy, because I'm carrying all my gear.
Well, you're going to be camping along the way, or
exactly? Yeah, so it's a tent, sleeping bag, so about 35 kilos.
And
of
you've
stuff.
Got front and back panniers.
Front and back panniers, bar bag, and a kind of nice stuff sack that sits on the back. I think I'll probably be jettisoning a lot of stuff as I keep going around. But at the moment, it's all kind of laid out on my bedroom floor, and hopefully it will fit into the panniers.
And what kind of technical things on the bike? Because I saw that the gears were different from a normal touring bike gears. They're sort of like, you've got a hub gear.
Yeah,
you?
I've opted for a roll-off speed hub, which is perhaps controversial in a lot of people's eyes, but it's it means all your gears are encased within a kind of steel hub at the back. So for terms of maintenance and kind of wear and tear, hopefully it will last the whole way. It's German, so it should be efficient.
And you've got a Brooks, I mean, the whole bike is British made.
British
made,
yeah.
You've got a fantastic Brooks leather saddle.
Yeah, lovely Brooks leather saddle.
But those things take a bit of wearing in, don't they?
They do, yeah. I've been riding it for a few months, so it's getting a little bit softer. But a light rubbing of saddle soap certainly helps.
And just the miles, I think that's the only thing
miles,
to do,
yeah,
isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, just
really?
Sitting on it for as long
well,
as
well, I don't know if this is what Woody Guthrie was singing about when he wrote going down the road feeling bad, but I like to think of him as going along, cycling around America on a Brooks leather saddle, feeling a little bit tough. You're listening to Resonance 104.4 FM. This is The Bike Show. My name's Jack Thurston. Joining me in the studio is Tom Kevill-Davies, who's about to set off on a tour around North and South America. I mean, the Americas are the last, certainly North America is the land of the car.
Yeah.
I mean, how you think you're going to get on a bike?
Yeah, I think hopefully pretty well, but you know, I think it's a growing sport in America. I mean, thanks to Lance Armstrong and stuff like that, cycling isn't a kind of foreign sport anymore. But you know, I think in certain places it might be slightly.
And the road tricky. Network's a bit tricky, isn't it? Because I mean, these are big highways built for trucks and
yeah,
whatnot.
And
whereas in Europe, you've
yeah.
got lots of little old roads that you know, people don't use for cars anymore that you're good for cycling.
I think certainly that, you know, that's the case. And so, you know, I will have to find myself on these big roads, but a lot of the time you opt for the smaller back roads, and I think they do exist. But
they do exist.
They do, but I just think Americans don't choose to take their gas guzzling MPVs down them.
And you're also going to be raising money, isn't that right?
Aiming to raise £100,000 for Macmillan Cancer Relief, which is a great charity.
And so the idea is people go to your website and nominate you something grotesque to eat.
Yeah, or grotesque, or it doesn't have to be grotesque, it could be something good to eat.
Something good to eat.
Yeah, I want to find kind of the public to tell me where the best food in
America
is.
Oh, the best food, so it's not just the weirdest food.
No, it's just sadly that's what's been put in a lot of the papers, and they get help sell them. But.
And so heading through north, sort of across Canada and down through the west, what are you looking forward to food-wise?
I've got a few suggestions. I've been invited to a barbecue competition in Oregon by a guy called Dwayne, which sounds pretty exciting. He's a captain of a competitive barbecue team, and he wants me to go out with his team and take on some other barbecue teams.
Well, so they have a contest.
Yeah, they have weekly contests, and you know, you just have acres of barbecues, and they make their kind. It's all to do with the smoking of the meat. So it's all actually to do with the wood that's burnt as opposed to the meat. And you know, you treat your wood before you your barbecue, and that then flavours your pork ribs and stuff.
And then heading down through Northern California, I mean, that's the sort of gastronomic centre of the United States, isn't
it? And the wine region as well, I think, you know, the Napa Valley and things, and around Santa Barbara, the food's just meant to be exceptional. But whether they take lycra clad, sweaty Englishmen in these kind of four-star restaurants, I don't know. But you know, maybe.
But I think as long as you're wearing a Lance Armstrong shirt, you'll be all right, and one of those yellow
I've got a yellow bracelet, but I don't know if well, I don't know, does that get you a table in the I don't know, the kitchen is the most famous in California, but or is it the French Laundry?
The French Laundry
is pretty. So whether I'm allowed in there with the Lance Armstrong bracelet,
I know. Well, they maybe could fix up a little table outside.
Yeah, maybe
there's a bit
the
of ventilation.
I'd rather get in the back with the chef and see how it all happens. To be honest, that'd be a bit more fun.
And then heading down in towards Southern California, you're going to be hitting some pretty good food.
Yeah, well, I think the kind of Mexican influence comes in then, and the kind of tacos, especially around kind of Santa Fe and places like that. The fish tacos are meant to be pretty incredible around there, and then it's on into Mexico, and I think, you know, everything will change severely then, but you know, I'm very much looking forward to it.
That's the Texas Tornadoes with their version of Ring of Fire, Rueda del Fuego. That song has a double meaning, I think, Ring of Fire.
Yeah.
And it reminds me of a chili eating contest that I heard about in the Central Valley of California.
Right.
So I don't know how you're going to have to watch out with those hot chilies and your Brook saddle.
I've got a pretty good, not too bad on the hot food, but chili contest I might
side seat. They say some of those chilies are so hot they burn you twice.
Really?
But anyway.
Sure, yeah.
Okay, so things are going to get a bit more tricky, I think, cycling-wise, once you head into Latin America.
Yeah, I think, you know, the road infrastructure in North America is, you know, it's obviously western.
You're going to be on lovely tarmac
all the way. And, you know, the old cycle lane. And I think as soon as I get into Central America, you know, it's the infrastructure isn't there. And then there's the language barrier, there's the health and safety and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, it should be interesting.
And so how are you going to get on with the Spanish? Do you speak Spanish?
I don't know. I'm taking some CDs with me. So my year in North America, I'll be learning. So if some kind of truckers see a guy cycling down the road, ask him where the bathroom is in Spanish, it'll be me.
It'll be you. Yeah. But so you'll have had a year kind of under your belt by the time you head into Central America.
Yeah. I mean, that's really one of the reasons I kind of picked that route, is that I could use North America as a kind of soft landing and, you know, just really get myself accustomed to long touring and camping.
And so how many miles a day do you think you're going to be having to be doing?
Kind of anywhere between 50 and 100. probably.
Depending on the conditions and the hills
and the weather and
like
how I'm feeling, and if I find something good to eat, I'll be stopping. So.
And have you spoken to anybody else who's been on a sort of epic journey like this with any advice about?
Yeah, a few. I've got a mate of mine, Hallam, and he's actually cycled all over South America. And he's got some pretty good advice, but really it's to be as flexible as you possibly can, which I think is the beauty of cycle touring, is that you don't have to, you don't have to be at a certain place. You can just go at your speed, and his main advice is just be as flexible as possible.
Yeah, and so what's you have to take a pretty direct route. I mean, are there many options getting through the skinny bit in Central America?
I think
probably a road on either side.
I think you follow the coast, and I think coast produce great food, but then you've got a few of the rainforests in the middle, especially in kind of Costa Rica, which I'll be going into. But I think ultimately you follow the coastline. That's where most of the habitation is, and a lot of great seafood, especially in Costa Rica, the marlin and stuff like that, and it's meant to be fantastic.
That's another recommendation you've had for marlin.
Yeah, I've had marlin. Apparently, you go out and catch it, and you go in a little boat and catch a great big marlin. I've never seen one before, and then bring it back and eat it.
And anything kind of on the jungly side been recommended?
Not yet. I guess maybe the web connections in the jungle aren't great, but I'm hoping if anyone has been there and has any recommendations of kind of indigenous tribes I should get out and see and things like that, please let me know. It'd be great.
How can people get in touch with you on the website?
TheHungryCyclist.com. You can kind of click on the map where you think you should recommend I should eat, and zoom into an area and then enter your suggestion, and I can have access to that the whole way around whenever I can find a phone line and an internet connection.
And how many recommendations and contacts have you had so far?
Close to 800 so far, so I've got pretty
fantastic.
I've got a pretty good network, some better than others, but there'll be a vetting process which I guess I'll learn as I go around.
Well, you're not going to go to Cuba, are you?
I might do.
Are you really?
Yeah, I might be popping into Cuba. It's on the route.
There's a lot of cycling goes on in Cuba. I think a lot of people do sponsored cycle rides and things
like
that.
They do, yeah. There's a lot of the charity, like Macmillan actually do a charity ride, but apparently it's beautiful cycling.
Well, this track, I think, by Celia Cruz is irresistible. No Hay Manteca by Celia Cruz, and it's a song I'm reliably informed about not having any fat to fry with and trying to make a feast out of nothing.
Yeah, sounds exciting. I'm going to be in that situation a number of occasions, I'm sure. But.
And so as you head through Central America, you're going to be going, then you come down into the continent of South America.
Yeah, I'll leave Panama, and then it's kind of Colombia, Ecuador, Peru, Bolivia, Chile. And then I'll be crossing Chile into Argentina, and then up the Atlantic side of Argentina and into Brazil.
So be going all the way down the west, the Pacific side.
Side of Chile, yeah.
And through Peru.
Through Peru into Chile.
Oh, they eat guinea pigs in
they
Peru?
They do, yeah. I think they eat 70 million guinea pigs a year in Peru, someone told me, which is a lot of guinea pigs.
Well, the five-octave queen of Peruvian music is Ima Sumac, and here is a pretty famous mambo. It's not about guinea pigs, but it's about gophers, which I think are pretty close enough.
Sounds good.
I don't know if it's about eating them or something else. Ima Sumac with Gopher Mambo, and we've concluded that because there are no actual words in that track, it could be about anything. So I don't know, it sounds a bit like it might be eating a gopher.
Yeah, can I dance it before you eat it, maybe? Tenderise it somehow.
And so you're going to be going through Argentina, and that's supposedly a great place for cycling, from what I've heard. There's a book from a few years ago called Fat Man on a Bicycle.
Tom Vernon, yeah, he's a bit of an idol in the cycling eating world. He went down France. I was actually reading his book that kind of half inspired me to do this trip. And Fat Man in Argentina is his kind of second book after that. And he cycles around eating a lot of beef, mainly. And that's obviously what Argentina's famous for. He's a great writer. So hopefully if I can, follow in his footsteps.
So yes, I mean, you got inspired by reading things by other people about big journeys. Have you done much cycling yourself?
I've done quite a lot. Yeah, the whole idea came cycling. I went touring around France last summer with a mate, but he gave up on the second day, which was his legs hurt or something.
His legs hurt after one day.
Yeah, a day and a half. I'll give him that.
I don't think that was a well chosen cycling.
He's quite kind of tall and gangly. I'm not saying tall and gangly people can't cycle, but he just didn't enjoy it at all. And anyway, so I was by myself then, and it was the last night of that tour. I was in a Jeep, and I was reading the French Guinness Book of Records and trying to translate that. And I was reading the cycling, how people had cycled around the world, and it all just kind of came to me there. And here I am now.
So. And so that's about a year's preparation or less then?
Yeah, about 9 months of preparation.
And you've chucked in your job?
Chucked in my job, yeah. the flats, you know, no longer living there, selling the car, and away I go.
Have you gone for 2 years?
Yeah, up to 2 years. Yeah, 18 months to 2 years, but as long as it takes, really.
And are you going to miss England?
Yeah, very much. Yeah. I miss my mum's cooking. But I think there are certain things you miss. I've never really travelled for a long time before, so I'm sure there'll be things I'll miss, friends, family.
But people might come out and visit you.
Hopefully.
What would you feel? People coming to come out and visit you and ride alongside you for a couple of weeks.
Yeah,
what do you think would be the spots for them to aim for? Clearly they don't want to come and join you as you're crossing the Nevada desert.
No, or the Andes like or something. Yeah, well, the kind of friends I don't like so much. But yeah, I think maybe the Yucatan of Mexico. I've got a couple of friends who are interested in coming there. It's just a beautiful spot and, you know, nice beaches and things. So I think it's as much as a holiday for them, and maybe I can have a couple of weeks of rest.
They're not cycling friends of yours?
Yeah, well, no, they're cycling friends. You know, they'll come out, hire a bike, and we'll just do some light touring, and then I can just take it easy for a few days, and then maybe move on.
Well, Tom, thanks very much for coming into the show.
It's been a pleasure,
and I wish you the absolute best of luck. And you'll be keeping some kind of a weblog, really.
Yeah,
I'll
be updating the website.
And you're leaving in 2 weeks.
2 weeks, 14th
okay,
of May.
So we'll keep the listeners of Resonance posted.
Please do, yeah.
On how you're doing, and more importantly, what you're eating.
Yeah, if anyone's got any culinary suggestions as well, do please drop me an email.
Well, the Bike Show has got its own website now. You can listen to archives of the show on www.unstablesound.net/bike.html. The details of that are on the Resonance FM website, which is www.resonancefm.com. That's www.resonancefm.com. You can send us emails at the Bike Show. bikeshow@gmail.com, and all the bike shows are there to be listened to in real audio format, listen to whenever you like, wherever you are around the world. We've had about 3,000 hits in the 3 weeks that the website's been up, from the UK, from the US, from France, and from as far afield as Lithuania and the Seychelles. So the famous cycling fraternity of the Seychelles is tuning in. And next week, we're going to be looking into the science of cycling and some interesting things to do with science and culture and art and the bicycle. And this is a tango to take us out for the last minute or so. Vuelvo al Sur by Gotan Project.
Se vuelve siempre al amor, vuelvo a vos, con mi deseo, con mi temor, llevo el sur, como un destino del corazón, soy del sur, como los aires.